Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark's City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Praise God. We are in a series called Maturity. We are looking at the first letter to Timothy from St. Paul. And we just want to grow up. It's time to grow up. Amen. Hallelujah. And we, you know, the years of kind of having to depend or wait on or just be fed, like it's, no, we're growing up. We're becoming men and women of God and we're moving into all that the Lord has for us. Pastor Des kicked us off with the realization that we need truth to grow up. We're never going to grow up on fake news, and particularly if we're fake about ourselves. Praise God, we're seeking to be truthful people and people of truth. And then last week we saw there's a bloke called Pastor Sean who preached on the whole thing of grace, and we need grace to grow up. We need that expanse of God's love for us so that when we stumble and fall, we know that we can get up because God still has grace for us and we can keep growing because of his grace. So it's apt to point you to the praise and prayer day, because today we're talking about being prayed up. To grow up, we need to be prayed up. Amen? To grow up, we need to be prayed up. Amen? Amen. You know, whenever you get a title, whenever it's your turn and you see the theme for the day or the topic for the day or the scripture for the day, you know, you get excited about the word. And one of the things that I have to be open on and honest about is that as I looked and I saw that my focus today was on prayer, because that's the next part of all that Paul teaches Timothy about in order for Timothy to grow up and be the leader that God has called him to be. And I went, Lord, you know, This is something that I always feel I need to get better at. Do you ever feel that about prayer? It's always something that I feel I need to get better at. And you're kind of going, Lord, you know, it'd be so good if someone else got this topic, or I just feel that I'd need to improve more. But praise the Lord, this is going to be a great challenge and encouragement to our hearts today. Because sometimes we beat ourselves up about quantity. And a lot of times God is looking for quality, and he's looking for a heart-to-heart connection. And so we're going to turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2 today, and we're reading the first 8 verses. Paul to Timothy, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good. It pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator. Amen. Such an important truth for this day and age that we're living in. If you're here today and you feel there's many ways to God, I'm just letting you know Christianity believes that there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want men. Isn't it interesting? You know, is that a bit sexist? No, what I find interesting is, in my experience, it's the women who do all the praying. Do you ever find that? Like, it's in my testimony, in my story, it's my mum. It's my mum did all the praying. My mum did all the crying out to heaven. But it's funny. Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Lord, challenge my heart. Challenge our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. What a way to describe prayer. We've got 4 descriptions. We've got petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. Petitions from the Greek diesias. And it means to beg, to entreat the Lord for a need, bringing our requests before the Lord, petitioning God with all that's on our hearts. This is the most basic of praying. This is the one that we do most often. It's asking God for stuff and asking God to help us. It expresses need before God. Prayer, this sort of prayer is primarily asking God, Lord, Sean, I'm just going to ask you for stuff, going to ask you to do this and bless that and help me here. And that's that form of prayer, bringing our petitions, our needs before the Lord. The second is simply the word prayer, and it's prosiakos, which is the Greek word, and it means I love this. It means worshipful communication with God. So you kind of, this is where you're kind of getting out your own head and all your petitions. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need that, I need that, I need this, I need that, which is a lot of times what our prayer life looks like. But this is like, Lord, I just want to communicate with you in a worshipful way. Prayer that is conversation with God. You know, like that beautiful image of Adam walking with the Lord in the cool of the day, that beautiful illustration from Genesis, where you're just having an intimate, worshipful chinwag, chat, conversation with God, but it's worshipful. It's not disrespectful. It's not taking him for granted. It's, wow, I can't believe that you're walking with me in the cool of the day, Lord. But while you're here, Lord, I just want you to know that this is on my heart and this is what's going on in my world. And it's that deep, reverent and respectful relationship, prayer, intercession. Literally, the Greek word means interview, which seems a bit offbeat, a specific, purposeful, one-on-one time. Intercession is a technical term meaning a bold audience with a king. A bold audience. A bold audience. And we have that kind of fear of the Lord, and we have that kind of nervousness in the sense that this is God Almighty. It's a bit like Nehemiah when he hears that the walls of his city are down and his city is in ruins. And he knows that he needs to boldly go to intercede on behalf of Jerusalem. So he knows that he could go into the presence of the king and die, but hey, he's going to intercede. I mean, he's going to go in and he's going to stand on behalf of his people. It's meeting to stand in the gap for others. This is now, you're totally, you've had your petitions and you've had your worshipful time with the Lord, and now the Lord has shifted your heart. The Lord has shifted your heart in his presence. And now you're going, gosh, Lord, actually, it's not all about me. It's about, I want to stand in the gap for Dublin. I want to stand in the gap for Ireland. I want to stand in the gap for my colleagues. I want to stand in the gap for my family. I want to stand in the gap for my spouse. I want to stand in the gap for my children. I want to stand in the gap for my fellow students. I want to stand in the gap for my college. I want to stand in the gap for my business, my whatever, name it. I want to stand in the gap. And I will intercede, and Lord, we will have an interview one with the other, and I will boldly pour out my concern for these people. This sort of prayer is passionate pleading on behalf of another. And then thanksgiving, Eucharistias, to give thanks, to express gratitude. It's an act of acknowledging God's goodness, God's sovereignty. It's joyful. It's a joyful recognition of the goodness of our God. When you praise, not just because of God's hand, but because of who he is, then you're getting close to the understanding of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is where we bring worshipful gratitude. I always have to do a cough, don't I? It wouldn't be a sermon without a little cough. So petitions are, Lord, I need you. Prayers are, Lord, you alone are worthy. Intercession is, Lord, please remember them. Thanksgiving is, Lord, I praise you. What a beautiful rounded description of prayer that Paul has given Timothy, where, you know, a lot of times we just think it's, yeah, I just need to get before God and kind of get the list out. Boom, 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 boom. Do this, do this. And it's just so beautiful, isn't it? And it's so rounded and it's so deep and it's so fresh and it's so real. I think you know you're maturing, you know you're growing up when, well, we'll answer that in a second. We could have said when you pray, but Paul doesn't relate to Timothy about prayer because he takes it for granted that because Timothy is a follower of Christ that he prays. You know, when Jesus is talking about the Beatitudes, he says, you know, when you pray, when you give, he doesn't go, do any of you guys pray? Isn't it amazing? The whole crowd is there and Jesus didn't go, can we have a little poll? Hands up who prays. Jesus said, you know, when you pray, when you give, when you fast, Jesus took it for granted that prayer was just part of our makeup. Paul doesn't say, you know, to Timothy, you know, are you praying? Because he takes it for granted that like Jesus, Timothy knows that we're God's children. So we're going to talk to our Father and we're going to pray. He knows that prayer is not optional for a believer. It's the first action. It's not the last resort. Amen? So you know you are maturing when No, prayer is like baby steps. We're not even close to maturity yet. Amen? Again, there's absolutely no guilt, just what we're trying to draw out from the word today. You know you are maturing when you really know who you're praying to. Again, that Paul's not dealing with that here. The issue here is not who do you pray to, because again, Paul takes it for granted that Timothy knows that he is praying to God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth, for there is one God, one mediator between God and all mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So Paul and Timothy are having a chat about, like, we know who we're praying to. There's no confusion here about who we're praying to. No, this is the thing. This is the thing that Paul wants to get at. This is a great challenge for 21st century Christians. You know you are maturing when you know who you're praying for. Who do you pray for? Who do you pray for? Immaturity is me praying all the time just about myself, because that's just displaying the culture of the world. It's all about me. Give it to me. Bless me. That's kind of like baby infant's prayer. But amen. But we're maturing in the Lord. Amen. So it's like Paul is trying to drive Timothy. Who are you praying for? Who we pray for says so much about our faith and our growth and our maturity. Let's look at who Paul encourages Timothy to pray for. Not much of a task, is it? Pray for all. Pray for all. Jesus desires that all would be saved. He came as one mediator before all people. About three times in the verses that we read today, it mentions the word all. And this is such a pain to our flesh, because we don't want it to be all, because that then includes people that aren't nice. Lord, I don't like this all business. I prefer just to pray specifically for me and for people that are nice to me. That's the people I want to pray for. I don't want to pray for all people. And so this is where the Lord is saying, are you of me? Are you of my kingdom? Are you connected to my spirit? Do you understand my heart? I love the verse in the various translations. In what we read, it said, I urge you, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. In the NLT, it says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Give thanks for them. The Living Bible says, here are my directions. Pray much for others. Plead for God's mercy upon them. Give thanks for all he is going to do for them. What a faith prayer. Give thanks for all he is going to do for them. The Message. The first thing I want you to do is pray. Love this. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. So we're to pray for all. This is of first importance. This is the first prayer before we get to me. Amen? Of first importance, I urge you to pray for all. Let's be mature in our praying. But what could this look like? Well, absolutely, we could pray for fellow believers. And if ever there was a need to pray for fellow believers, it's these days. We're seeing persecution in an incredible amount of countries and states now. It's absolutely frightening the way the persecution is coming against Christians and Christianity in these days. It is the great high priestly prayer of Jesus from John 17. I'm praying not only for these disciples, the 12, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That means you and me. So even back in John 17, Jesus was praying for all believers. We are being prayed for unity, sanctification, our preservation in the truth and our perseverance in the truth. So we follow Jesus' example by praying for fellow believers. I honestly believe that there would be a revival in Ireland in 2 weeks if Christians stopped pointing the finger at each other and started praying for each other. Amen. Swiftly moving on. This is the one we absolutely love. Praying for our enemies. One of our favorites from Jesus. One of those bits of scripture that we read very, very fast. to get to the scripture that sits more easy with us. So I'll read this slowly, because whenever we read this in the Bible, we always read it very fast. Thank God that's over. Get to the good bit, Lord, where you bless me. But I say, love your enemies. You'd know this wasn't written by human beings, and you'd know this is as far away from the flesh as you can possibly get. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Okay, how are we doing? Pray for those who persecute you. Now we're talking about mature prayer. Now we're talking about prayer that is as far away from selfish baby prayer as you can get. Where you are interceding, where you are bringing petitions, where you are giving thanks for the life of someone persecuting you. What I find amazing is that I wonder if when they were having a cup of tea afterwards, Paul was letting Timothy know that this was his story, because we know that Paul was a terrorist against the early Christian church. Amen? I wonder how many people took it upon themselves not to give off, not to form a militia against Paul, not to rise up, not to be getting on social media, you call yourself a rabbi. No. I wonder how many people prayed for Paul, because we know that Paul had an amazing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Do you know that there's testimonies coming out of the Middle East now where different people, even in mosques, are getting visions of Jesus Christ as Lord? Do we not know the power that's in prayer? Or would we rather just keep giving off and turning on the news and being full of fear? What a day we have right now. What a day in the Lord to test and prove what the Lord has written in his good book about prayer. If God can do it for someone like Paul, who was the terrorist against the church of his day, has God stopped working in people's hearts? No, it's the same God. It's the same God, and there's still the same power in prayer. And so we pray for enemies. Jesus completely overturned the cultural norm. He didn't limit prayer to those we like or agree with. Instead, he broadened it to include those who wound us, who oppose us, and misunderstand us. Do you know, brothers and sisters, you know one of the hardest things about preaching a word like this? I know I'm going to be tested on this very soon. The teacher is always tested more harshly, it says in the Word of God. So I honestly bring this with fear and trembling. Because I'd absolutely love to say, you know, to the person wounding me, bless the Lord, do it again, I love you. I'm praying for you. Lord, may our flesh die in your presence. Praying for enemies shows that we are growing more and more and more into the image of Jesus. This Jesus who on a cross, bloodied and battered, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus, may we be your children. Another way to pray for all is to pray for laborers for the harvest. The harvest is great. It's massive. But the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. The world's not in charge of the harvest. The world powers aren't in charge of the harvest. The world economies aren't in charge of the harvest. Jesus is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. So Jesus is calling us to pray evangelistically. He's asking us to pray not just for souls to be saved, but for workers to be sent out, more and more laborers for the kingdom to advance. My brother, my sister, like me, are you being challenged today in your prayer life? Do you have a maturity in your prayer life? Do you have a Christ-like image in your praying? Do you pray for all? Do you pray for your fellow believers? Do you pray for your enemies? Do you pray for laborers? Because the harvest is plentiful and time is short. Praise the Lord. This one goes down great in Ireland. We love to pray for leaders in Ireland. Ireland does not have a culture of pulling down leaders. I don't know if there's any culture. I remember going to America for the first time. I remember going to Togo. I remember just it was nearly embarrassing. And no one's looking for this. You would never get this Northern anyway, so there's no fear. But like, it was just like the way people were just so respectful. I was like, what is this? It nearly felt weird. It nearly felt like, oh my goodness, this is like, what is this? Why is this culture of love? It was just so incredible. Where like there was just this genuine heart towards prayer for leaders and blessing of leaders and a desire for leaders to succeed, because they understood that if leaders succeed, we're all blessed. It was so simple. It was so simple. You see, leadership is hard, and that's why not many sign up. Leaders are easy targets because they're human beings. Don't tell anyone. They're human beings. And it's also, here's the thing, about, I don't know if you've noticed this about life. It's impossible to please all the people all the time. Amen. Has anyone ever experienced that? Jesus models respect before Pilate by submitting to his authority without any malice. He teaches on paying taxes to Caesar and implies respect and, dare I say, intercession for governing leaders, people who govern. When we pray for leaders, even those we disagree with, we participate in God's redemptive agenda. And what's the result? Well, it told us in the scripture, a life of tranquility and a life of godliness. That's decent, isn't it? That's a good return on your prayers. We get, praise the Lord, tranquility and godliness. I've said this a few times before in the past, but I think about it so much, and it really pierced my heart when I heard it the first time. A leader of a church in Dublin, he was at a meeting. It was when the troubles were happening, you know, north of the border. And this leader got into a lift. And when the door opened, one of these leaders of, let's call it the other side, obviously this was once a Catholic nation, but from the other side got into the lift. And this pastor just turned to him and just went, oh, so I'm a pastor from Dublin. I just want you to know that we love you and we bless you and we pray for you. The leader started crying in the lift. The man started crying in the lift. Because as a leader, he wasn't used to people blessing and praying. Amen. He was used to, and you're not doing that, and you're not doing this, and wait till we get yous. And it was like so counter to what the man knew that he just wept. My brothers and sisters, leaders are just human beings. Leaders get out of bed like everybody else and need that first cup of coffee. Leaders get on with their day and they have as much trouble with regards to challenges at home and paying the bills and doing all of the things that we know and love and don't love and have to do. And leaders need prayer. And we know we're maturing when we pray for leaders and we pray it goes well with them. And we pray that success comes. It's such a shift, guys. It's such a shift. It's a culture shift for a nation. I remember, you know, listening to people talking about various political shows on Irish television, and the people that got the most respect. The people that got the most respect for interviewing political figures or leaders in Ireland are the people that are best at, to quote, knocking strips out of them. They knocked strips out of them. And it's like, okay, yeah, fair play. And they're the ones that get the, you know, the most ratings, and they pulled them up, they caused the leader to stumble, they made an ass of them, whatever it is, whatever is the way you want to describe it. We're not Romans looking at sports where lions tear people to bits. We're Christians. Should leaders be accountable? 300%, 6,000,000%. Should leaders be held to account? Do I have to even answer that? We're in the church. We know they have to be. But how many of us pray for leaders? How many of us this week prayed for leaders? Bit of grace. How many this year prayed for leaders? Hallelujah. Sorry, we'll keep going. And then, as if we weren't getting it, and as if there needs to be kind of a real kind of ramming home of this. Paul says, I want you to pray for all those in authority. How's life and work going? How's the boss? How's the boss doing? How's the employer? How's the manager? How's the person that has authority over you? We see in Ireland that we have employers and bosses and politicians and ministers and clergymen and women and teachers, and we could go right through the full gamut of just areas where people have authority. And you might have authority in, you know, anywhere that you work, and you've got responsibility, and you would love people just to be covering you in prayer. This kind of praying reshapes culture from the inside out. Instead of reacting to political noise or the decline of society, we become conduits of divine peace through our prayers, and we become channels of God's truth. Can I just say this in love to an amazing body of Christ, brothers and sisters we love dearly? People in authority would prefer a piece of your prayers than a piece of your mind. Just letting you know. Yes, if you feel we need a piece of your mind, by all means, the door is open. But people in authority prefer a piece of your prayers. Essentially, we're praying for people who carry responsibility, because life is hard enough. Life has given them extra burdens and extra pressures. So you know what we'll do? We'll add to their pressure and we'll add to their... No, we won't. We'll ask God to help them to carry their load. We'll pray over people in authority that they will come, even though they're weary, to Jesus. Come to me, all you are weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. We will pray for rest. We will pray that they will take the yoke of Jesus upon them, because it's light and it's not heavy, and take the burden that is light upon themselves that Jesus will give them. Why should we pray for all people, for kings and for all those in authority? It tells us in Scripture that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Everyone wants a peaceful, quiet life, and they want to do it in godliness and holiness. We just don't want to pray for it. Amen. So he says, I urge you, pray for all people, pray for kings, pray for those in authority. And then typically we'll say, what's in it for me? And Paul even tells us that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We sometimes think that when we pray, we're doing God a favor. Little realizing that when we pray, we're doing ourselves a favor. Let's start praying for those in authority, locally, nationally, globally. Can I challenge you this month? Myself and Susan have tried to do this. You know, when we find ourselves, myself and Susan like to walk, and and we like to prayer walk, and we've kind of started this shift. Over the last, I'd say a couple of years though, where we were conscious that, you know, sometimes I'd be offloading, or sometimes Susan would be offloading. And we kind of said, rather than going into the next 5 or 10 minutes giving off about that situation or that person, let's pray for them. Do you know what's most amazing about that tactic? It took the burden right off us. As I went around just giving off, the burden stayed with me. But as I prayed and as I blessed them, the burden came right off me in Jesus' name. The prayers of the saints are heard because the Son's intercession stands eternal. Every plea uttered by the church is empowered by the ongoing mediation of Jesus, who ever lives to intercede on our behalf. Hebrews 7, verse 25. My brothers and sisters, we're being challenged to grow up. We're being challenged to mature. And one of the areas where we can test if we're maturing and becoming more like Jesus is our prayer life. And so we ask the first question, the fundamental baby step, do we pray? Second one, do we know who we're praying to? And then pray, so when those two things are established, then who are we praying for? Paul wants Timothy to know that it's so important that Timothy has a heart that prays for everyone, good or bad, friend or enemy. That he has a heart that prays for those leaders, people who carry very, very big responsibility. For all those in authority, people who carry pressures and challenges on a daily basis. And that if he would do that, then praise the Lord, this peace would come and this quiet life that would be lived in all godliness and holiness. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and sing us out. But just to put up the last slide, and again, can I just say, this is verse 8 of what we just read. There's no condemnation, but can I just ask this question? Why is it that these days we have lots of anger and disputing, but no prayer? Verse 8 said, therefore I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. You see, Paul knows that men are really good at anger and disputing. We can do, some of us will do anger on the way home in the car when someone cuts across us. Some of us will do disputing as we sit in the car after church with our spouse. We've no problem with anger or disputing. My Lord, we do it on our social media posts. My Lord, we do it any chance that we can get, big long emails. And may I just say that you were a, like, we do it. We can do it naturally. But you're born again. What do you do supernaturally? We pray. I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Can we all stand? Can we lift up holy hands in the house today? Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your word today. Lord, thank you for motivating us, not putting us down, but Lord God, just lifting up our heads and saying, please grow now to the next level in me. Please, I'm wooing you unto me to the next stage of your life in me. I'm maturing you. You used to take baby steps. There was a time you never prayed. Then you didn't really know who you were praying to, who your father was. And then you went around on your hands and knees, dada, dada, and you began to realize that I'm your father. But now I want you to stand. I want you to grow up. I want you to mature. And Jesus, I pray that my prayer and our prayer will change radically over the coming weeks and months. God, in Jesus' name, would I become less of one of those that's on the hobby horse of the world at this time, one of those ranters and judgers and complainers. Would you help me to be one of those blessers and interceders? Someone who loves people and loves what they can become when they give their life to you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, help us, God. We can't do this of our own strength. Spirit of the living God, we pray for this Holy Spirit of Jesus that will help us to bring petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving before you. And I just pray a blessing. I pray a blessing on all of my brothers and sisters. Lord, we love them. We bless them. Lord, thank you for those that are an authority in this house. Would you bless them and lighten their load? Thank you for all the leaders in this place, Lord God. Would you help them, Lord God, to take your yoke upon their shoulders and take your burden that's light? Thank you for all people, Lord God. Even if there's someone here today that has never been here before, we bless you and we love you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this time. And we thank you for the gift of prayer. May we use it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.